Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed each week as you listen to these programs. It is our prayer that you come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time. You can come in person. Our address is 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, but many of you can't come in person. You can always join our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat, you can pray, you can worship, you can grow in grace. And if you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and watch our weekly worship services or just our weekly messages. And we have a children's message, so you could watch any of those. We're in the season of Advent and walking our way on a journey to Christmas. Before we read our New Testament lesson today, I would like for us to look at two Old Testament passages, one from the prophet Isaiah and the other from the prophet Malachi. Let's read them. Well, before we read them, let's have a prayer together. Lord God, as we open your living word, we pray that your word would come alive in our hearts and in our minds as we prepare ourselves for the advent of the Christ child. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The prophet Malachi gives the following words to the people of Israel 400 years before the birth of Christ. Listen to what the prophet Malachi says. Malachi chapter 4, 1 through 6. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves before the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the teaching of my servant Moses, the statutes and ordinances that I commanded him at Horeb for all of Israel. Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will come and strike the land with a curse. I will not come, he says, and strike the land with a curse. Wow, these words are really cryptic and confusing. These words are hard to understand and difficult to hear. In this season of Advent, today's candle, if you were lighting an Advent candle, the first week is the candle of hope. Today is the candle of love, or this week is the candle of love. And sometimes it's also called the candle of prophecy. Isaiah, Malachi, Elijah, they were Old Testament prophets called by God to give the people his messages. But more often than not, the people don't like to hear what the prophets are saying. After Malachi delivers this message, the one we just read in chapter 4, there is nothing for the next 400 years coming from God as a prophecy. Can you imagine 400 years of silence from God? Let's listen for God's word in our New Testament reading in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Wow, what a powerful song of Zechariah. We don't really like silence, do we? In fact, when I do the radio program, our engineers tell me, don't pause too long, and we will lose you. But we don't like silence, especially around a group of people. Have you ever been in a small group praying and there's like 30 seconds of silence? It feels like an eternity. Have you ever prayed about a struggle in your life and as best you could tell, God was or is silent right now? I think many of us have experienced that long pause of God when our prayers seem to go unanswered. At the time we're going through the silence, it feels like we'll never hear from God again. This is how we connect with the Jewish people, except they didn't just wait a lifetime to hear from God. They waited 400 years. What was that about? Generations came and went without a fresh word from God? 16 generations came and went, to be exact. I think it's helpful to try to envision things from God's perspective. God was silent from a human perspective. That doesn't mean that God had stopped working. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, these words, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. When the time had fully come, God acted. God had been silent, but certainly God was preparing the world for the exact time of the coming of the Messiah. It just happened to take 400 years. Let's think about God's interruption after 400 years of silence. The story of Zechariah is retold to us in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Zechariah is a priest. He's working in the temple. He has been doing his work day in and day out, hoping and waiting for the Messiah. Generations have come and gone, as well as 400 years of silence. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth have had no children. They are old, and at their age, they hold no hope to ever have a child. As a priest, Zechariah has been selected to go into the Holy of Holies to offer up the sacrifices for the people of God. Zechariah never expected that God would break his 400-year silence and speak to him. Right before his own eyes, the angel Gabriel appeared, relaying the message from God that his wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby. Gabriel goes on to say that Elizabeth will give birth to a son, and Zechariah is to name him John. Zechariah finds it hard to believe what the angel said, and because of this, Zechariah is silenced for the 9 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. What a crazy interruption. God had been silent for 400 years. Finally, a fresh word of hope is delivered, and Zechariah falters in disbelief right there in the middle of the Holy of Holies. Instead of being silent, Zechariah is now silenced for 9 months. The more Zechariah was silent, the more he had to think about the words of the angel Gabriel. In Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, this is what the angel said. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Let's rewind to 400 years earlier. Do you remember what was said? God gave a promise that a prophet would come and proclaim the way of the Lord. Malachi promised that a redeemer was coming, but first there had to be a prophet who would announce the arrival of the coming of the Messiah. Let's fast forward 400 years. 400 years have come and gone, and there's been no prophet, no fresh word, nothing but silence from God. God has been silent, but the silence was speaking. The silence had been hard at work. The silence had been preparing for this very important Advent interruption. Zechariah saw an angel, was given quite a message, but because he didn't believe, he was silenced. Fortunately, Zechariah only had to wait 9 months, not 400 years. Zechariah's son is born. Everyone has grown accustomed to silence. I mean, they're going on 400 years of silence from God. The baby is here. Everyone who knows Zechariah and Elizabeth expect the child to be named Zechariah. Firstborn Jewish males are named after their fathers. But wait, Elizabeth shares with the crowd that the baby's name is John. Can you imagine the scene? I always say, put yourself in the story and put the story in you. Can you be there when the announcement of the name of the child? Can you put yourself in that scene? No one in the family is named John. The people don't believe Elizabeth. They ask Zechariah to write the name of the baby on a tablet. Zechariah writes, the baby's name is John. Immediately, like a snap of a finger, Zechariah's tongue is loosed and his great joy cannot be contained. He starts singing not a lullaby, but a song of praise, a love song. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. You've been listening to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we would love to pray for you. We have a wonderful prayer team. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We've had some wonderful answers to prayer. And if you need a Bible, we have a man in the church that's giving out the one-year reading Bible. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll get you a Bible. That's a great way to start the new year. So Zechariah breaks out in a song. He can't be contained. It's not a lullaby, but it's a song of praise. I know you don't have your Bibles probably in front of you, but I'm going to read the verses, and let's just look at this song of love, this song of hope. In verse 68, he says, he has come and has redeemed his people. Redeemed, it means to buy back, to ransom, to liberate, to release, and to deliver. So in verse 68, we're told that he has come to redeem his people. In verse 69, he has raised up a horn of salvation. And in the Old Testament writings, the horn is, well, it's a mighty power, and salvation is soteria, which means to deliver, to make safe, or to rescue. And in verse 71, salvation from our enemies. Salvation, rescue, deliverance, and safety from our enemies. Verse 72, he's come to show mercy. Mercy, helios, kindness, favor, compassion, and love. And then at the end of verse 72, he remembers. Remember is to bring to the mind, to recall. God will remember you. And in verse 74, the words are to rescue us. Rescue us, it means to rescue, to protect, to guard, to keep, or to maintain, or to save. And he's going to rescue us and enable us to serve him without fear. Here is your so what from Zechariah's song. God has come, God has redeemed, God has raised up a mighty horn, God has saved us from our enemies, God has shown us mercy, God remembers, God rescues, protects, guards, keeps, and saves. Why? To enable us to serve God without fear. Let me say this again. God has come. God has redeemed. God has raised up a mighty horn. God has saved us from our enemies. God has shown us mercy. God remembers. God rescues. Why? So we could serve God without fear. The Greek word for enable is didomai, which means to give, to grant, to allow, to deposit, to offer, to give freely. God has done all this and has given us these gifts so that we can serve Him freely without fear. So what? So what does Zechariah's song of praise mean to us today? What can we learn from Zechariah? Zechariah wasn't prepared for Christmas because he didn't believe that God could step into his life and answer long-forgotten prayers in an out-of-the-box way. Most of us are secretly disappointed with God, but afraid to admit it. So, like old Zechariah, we just do what we're supposed to do, never really believing that God is at work to bless us in ways that, well, just blow our minds. That's what's coming. That's what the coming of Christ really means to each one of us, the Advent, the coming of Christ in our lives. That's a powerful thing. What Elizabeth says in verse 25 is true for each of us because God sent His Son. He's looked with favor on us to take away our disgrace among the people. We may believe that God could do that for someone else, but not for us. We think, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how hopeless my situation is. Some of us have become so cynical and jaded by life that we no longer believe God is at work in us. If we're stuck in our unbelief, we're not ready for God's gift. But God has some interesting ways of getting through to us. Dr. James Dobson relates a story of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope, who was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died of cancer just a few months earlier. Now, several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal winter weather storm. She felt terribly alone, so much so that she decided she was not going to decorate for Christmas. Late that afternoon, the doorbell rang and there was a delivery boy with a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope." She nodded. He said, "Would you sign here?" She invited him to step inside and close the door to get away from Nicole. She signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" The young man laughed and opened up the flap, and inside was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." The young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from captivity. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down, handed her an envelope, and said, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift for you." The young man then handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." In desperation, she again asked, "Who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." Wow. She opened up the letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he died and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift for her. The letter was full of love, encouragement, and admonishment to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him. He had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears, the letter down, and then, remembering the puppy at her feet, she picked up that golden furry ball and held it around by her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights and the outline of the neighbor's houses, and she heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace washing over her. Her heart felt a joy and wonder greater than the grief and loneliness. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box down in the basement I'll bet you'll like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and some lights that are going to impress you. And there's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it. God has a way of sending or giving signals of hope and love to remind us that life is stronger than death. Light is more powerful than darkness. God is more powerful than Satan. Good will overcome evil. Joy is stronger than disappointment. That's the message of Christmas. The question is, are we prepared for it? Are we able to believe that God is acting for us in ways we never could have imagined? Take away our disgrace and disappointment. How about you? Do you believe God is able to bring you joy and blessings where there has been disgrace and disappointment? Are you in a place where God is silent? You've prayed and prayed and prayed, and still the silence continues. For 400 years, God was silent to the Jewish people, but God was at work in the silence. He was silent, but he was working. And fully working towards the redemption of the world. God used those 400 years of silence in order to prepare the world for the birth of Jesus. The so what for us today is that even in the midst of the silence in our lives, God is at work. And when the time is right, God will interrupt the silence with a song of hope. During the first week of Advent, the candle that is lit is the candle of hope. I usually come up with a little acrostic. Hope is heaven's one promise, Emmanuel, or hold on, pray every day. The second week of Advent is the candle of love. God's love is with us through his one and only Son, Jesus. We are told that we are loved and God's children. Whatever it is that you're dreaming of, hoping for, wishing for, expecting, anticipating, don't give up your hope. God is at work behind the scenes where you can't see or hear him. The second week of Advent, our homework for this week, our so what, is to stop long enough to enjoy the silence. Look back over your life and see if you can't spot seasons of silence followed by seasons of answers. Zechariah and Elizabeth's baby John, he's John the Baptist. Camel hair wearing, locust eating, desert man of the year, John the Baptist. There was nothing silent about John. I know it's hard when you don't hear God. I know it's hard when all you hear is silence. Today's message is all about love because God is at work even when we cannot see or hear him. Let us pray. Dear God, we all have times of silence. I ask for a special blessing for those of us who are experiencing what feels like years of silence. Give us the hope and love of Advent. Give us heaven's one promise, Emmanuel. Give us the promise of God with us. Give all of us eyes and ears to know and trust and hope that you are at work in our lives. As sure as Christmas is coming, we can count on you that our lives are in your strong and mighty hands. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray the Lord make his face to shine upon you. I pray that the Lord be gracious unto you this day and every day. May the Lord speak to you in the midst of all that you're facing. God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed week. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.